Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Hello, and welcome to another emancipated episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. On today's podcast, we have an interview with Chicago Improv Festival producer Don Hall. And also Tom Williams, the Chicago critic, will be bringing us a couple of more audio reviews. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back, relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, and welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast, brought to you by TheaterInChicago.com. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, giving you Chicago's theater news for the week of April 10th, 2006. It's the return of the Knights Who Say Nee! That's right, the Tony Award winner for Best Musical of 2005, that's Monty Python's Spamalot, for those of you out there, will be triumphantly returning to its world premiere home here in Chicago. The showing at the Cadillac Palace Theater will be a limited engagement running from Wednesday, April 19th through Sunday, June 4th. Spamalot premiered here back in December of 2004, enjoying a completely sold-out run before it went off onto Broadway. Once it was on the Great White Way, it took home a few Tony Awards, including Best Musical and Best Director Mike Nichols. Oh, yes, and its cast also won a 2006 Grammy Award for Best Musical Album. Monty Python Spamalot is the hottest ticket in town. Do not miss it. The Goodman Theater continues its 2005-2006 season with the play that is sweeping the nation, The Clean House by Chicago native Sarah Rule. Acclaimed local artist Jessica Thebus will be directing the play that the New York Times called visionary. Thebus' cast will include Goodman favorites Mary Beth Fisher and Patrick Clear. The Clean House runs April 29th through June 4th in the Albert Theater. Evanston's Next Theater has announced its 2006-2007 season. The season starts off with Helen, a Blackburn Prize winner by Ellen McLaughlin that retells the story of the Helen of Troy. Next will be Miss Witherspoon, the Chicago premiere of Christopher Durang's satire. Then The Adding Machine, a chamber musical, a world premiere musical based on Elmer Rice's masterpiece about a man and his relationship with the great American corporation. And finally, Frozen, the Chicago premiere of Brian Lavery's 2004 Tony-nominated play. The Goodman Theater has announced a new addition to its 2006-2007 season, the acclaimed drama In the Continuum. The play, written by Dana Guerrera and Nicole Salter, will be performed by its writers and directed by Robert O'Hara. In the Continuum dramatizes the problem of HIV and AIDS among African-American women told from a woman's perspective. The play will run in the Owen Theater from May 25th through June 24th of next year. The management company of the Athenaeum Theater, SCT Productions, has named a new general manager for the Lakeview stage. Daniel Solari will be taking the place of his father, Fred Solari, the theater's longtime manager who died unexpectedly last month. Solari will also serve as the vice president of the production company founded by his father back in 1969. Joan Solari will now become the president and executive director of SCT Productions. Good luck, you two. We're all with you. And in non-related news, Edward Albee is the first person named to a new playwriting fellowship at Princeton University. He will teach there for several months in the fall of 2007 and also write a new play for the local theater. Albee, who is 78 years old, was the winner of 3 Pulitzer Prizes. Not a bad choice. If you haven't heard already, or you have, we have an interview with Don Hall on this podcast. Don Hall is the producer of the Chicago Improv Festival, and he will be talking about the 9th annual festival running from April 24th through the 30th at the Athenaeum, along with other venues. But here's some of the lineup for the Chicago Improv Festival, a Chicago special, if you will. The biggest headliner is the Horatio Sanz All-Stars, featuring Horatio Sanz from Saturday Night Live. Also, don't miss the Toronto groups Slap Happy and the Williamson Playboys. The local improv troupe Cook County Social Club will be headlining on Friday night at Studio One. Also featured will be Mad TV Stars and Writers on Hiatus, both of which are from Los Angeles. For more information, check out www.cif.com. Again, that's www.cif.com. Thank you for listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. Don't forget that we have a new Chicago Theater News podcast ready for your ears every Monday. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here is my review of She Stoops to Conquer by Oliver Goldsmith, directed by Ronan Mara, produced by Signal Ensemble Theater at Chopin Theater. Signal Ensemble's rendition of Goldsmith's classic is a hoot. Signal Ensemble has moved up from Chopin Theater's basement in more ways than one. Their growth artistically has been steady and focused. Their latest work is a stylish, sophisticated, and pleasant production of She Stoops to Conquer by Oliver Goldsmith that richly adorns Chopin's main stage. Thought to be the first laughing comedy that got audiences doing extreme belly laughs from its first staging in London in 1773, She Stoops to Conquer continues to please present-day audiences with its over-the-top quirky characterizations and uniquely funny plot twists. Signal Ensemble's production qualities speak to their growth as artists. Melania Lacey's exquisite set, an English country manor circa 18th century, complete with a centered fireplace, Julia Ballard's lighting, and Laura Dana's period-perfect costumes include full dresses for the ladies and colorful waistcoats with tri-cornered hats for the men. Each wore wigs and had rich British accents that flavored the production with grace and elegance. This is a polished production that deftly takes us back to the 18th century for a romp with blind dates and clever deceptions in a country manner. Laughs abound in this funny comedy. Goldsmith uses the character's own flaws and vices to feed his comedy. This was a breakthrough for theater in the 18th century. When two urbanite men become lost in the English countryside, they become targets of trickery at the hands of a mischievous ne'er-do-well and a barmaid. This comedy spills out as the master of the manor believes that young Marlowe, played by Christopher Prentice, to be the gentleman he is expecting to court his daughter, Kate, played magnificently by Melanie Keller. While the travelers think the place is merely an inn, the innkeeper believes that young Marlowe is there to court his daughter. The other urbanite, Hastings, played by Philip Winston, eyes Miss Neville, Meredith Bell, the niece of the manor's owner. Tony Lumpkin, played by Joseph Stearns, Mrs. Hardcastle's son, is the fun-loving soul who delights in the trickery. Goldsmith's writing is clever in its use of mistaken identity, lovable characters, as it spoofs the social mores of the time, and it exposes the hypocrisy of the upper class. The twists and turns of the show include satire, farce, wacky situations that produce an evening of belly laughs. For an Aaron Snook's opening prologue, written by Stephen Jeffrey in classic rhyme, we become engaged and are entertained. Terrific performances abound with Vincent L. Lonergan's Hardcastle, the all-innocent and likable, to Joseph Stearns' Lumpkin, all manic and wild, to Philip Winston's Hastings, all blustery and honor, to Sarah Strum's Miss Castle in a screaming mode throughout, to Christopher Prentice as the fumbling, contradictory, yet gracious Marlowe who pines after Melanie Keller's deliciously devious Kate. This is tremendous ensemble acting that director Ronan Mara astutely plays for all the laughs in a campy, manic production that is engaging and filled with heart. This is a fun show that I think everyone will enjoy. It's visually exquisite, and its production values are very strong. She Stoops to Conquer, as done here correctly, contains many laughs. Signal Ensemble once again proves that the classics can be fun if well acted, nicely staged, and articulated with zest. Signal Ensemble as a show that is fun. My rating on this show, recommended. It's at Chopin Theater, 1543 West Division in Chicago. The tickets are $20. The schedule of the show runs Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3 p.m., with a special Wednesday, April 26th performance at 8 p.m. The running time is 2 hours and 10 minutes with intermission. It runs through April 29th. Call 773-347-1500. That's 773-347-1500. This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's Review Podcast. This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's Review Podcast. Here's my review of The Chosen, based on the novel by Chaim Potok. Adapted for the stage by Aaron Posner and Chaim Potok. Directed by Shade Murray. A man must fill his life with meaning. Meaning is not automatically given to life. That is a quote from David Malter from The Chosen. The coming-of-age story of two Jewish boys speaks with integrity and passion. Director Shade Murray utilized the back-of-the-bookstore theater marvelously with Jack McGaw's synagogue-style set complete with Hebrew inscriptions and sliding drawers. Writers Theater's production aptly explains the difference between the Orthodox and the Hasidic traditions of Judaism that gave a goy like me an understanding of the difference between each. The Chosen is a first-class adaptation of Chaim Potok's best-selling novel that introduces audiences to the world of two Jewish kids growing up in Brooklyn during World War II. We learn about the Hasidic and the modern Orthodox Jewish traditions, about the Talmud, the Gemara, and the Zionists. Our trip to this world is engaging as the story quickly enchants us as we meet the young Reuben Malter, played by Jurgen Hooper, and Danny Saunders, played by Nicholas Camino, as they meet during a baseball game when Danny's line drive catches Reuben in the eye. The two boys become friends, despite the different worlds each belongs. Sean Fortunato, as the older Reuben Malter, narrates and explains and introduces us Goyim to the basic traditions of Judaism. We admire the intellectual atmosphere in both homes where learning, reading, and scholarship and religion abound. Danny's father, Reb Saunders, Jeff Still, is a rabbi and a tzaddik, a righteous man and leader considered to have spiritual powers. Reb Saunders is a kind of king to this group of followers. Danny is his genius son and heir. They dress in black with white shirts and have the side curls. They spend much time studying the Talmud, the book of Jewish law. They have strict laws that exclude most modern ideas and culture. Reuben Malter, from the more worldly modern Orthodox Jewish tradition, has a father, David Malter, played by Craig Spiedel, who is a professor and an avid Zionist. They believe that the Jews need their own state in order to survive after the Holocaust. Filled with interesting and intellectually stimulating dialogue and ideas, The Chosen dramatizes the dilemma the young face when dealing with their religious tradition in a changing modern world. Where do family and traditions and personal ambitions become reconciled? The Chosen wonderfully explores these issues as it speaks to us about the role of tradition and religion in our lives. With outstanding performances from the cast, especially Jeff Still as Reb Saunders and Sean Fortunato as the older Reuben Malter, The Chosen smoothly piques our interest despite dealing with profound concepts and beliefs. This play smartly deals with the father-son relationships as it highlights the problems each have communicating with one another. The concept of silence as a method of relation for a father to a son is explored here. This show fascinated me and gave me an appreciation of the Jewish traditions. In order to give you a flavor of what The Chosen is about, here are some telling quotes from The Chosen. Both these and those are the words of the living God. That's from Reuben Malter. The Talmud says that each man should do two things for himself. One is to acquire a teacher. The other, choose a friend. That's a quote from David Malter. A Greek philosopher said that true friends are like two bodies with one soul. David Malter. My father taught me that one learns from the pain of others by suffering one's own pain, by turning inside, by finding one's soul. Reb Saunders. A word is worth one coin. Silence worth two. That is from the Talmud. My rating for the show, recommended. It is at Writer's Theater, which is at the smaller Books on Vernon in the back of the bookstore at 644 Vernon Avenue in Glenview. Tickets are $40 to $57. The schedule for the show runs Tuesdays through Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 5 and 8, Sundays at 2:30 and 6. There'll be some weekday matinees on April 19th, 20, 26, 27, May 3rd, and 4th. The running time is 2 hours with intermission. For more information, call 847-242-6000. That's 847-242-6000. This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's Review Podcast. Go see a play this week.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago interview podcast, brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. The following is a phone interview with Don Hall, the producer of the 9th Annual Chicago Improv Festival, running from April 24th through April 30th at the Athenaeum Theater. Hello, Don. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing very good. Thank you very much for calling us today and doing this interview.
No problem. No, my pleasure.
All right. So for those of you out there, Don Hall is the producer, am I correct?
Yeah, I am the producer of the Chicago Improv Festival.
Of the Chicago Improv Festival. This is the 9th annual festival. And how long have you been the producer?
Well, this is the first year that I've been the producer. In fact, this is the first year that we've had an official producer. In years past, it's been pretty much Jonathan Pitts, who is the founder. And he's been the executive producer of everything for most of the last 8 years. And this year, the CIF went nonprofit. And as a way, one of the ways of dealing with the nonprofit is there was a restructuring last year of how the festival itself would be perceived by the foundation and how it would run. And so this is the first year we've actually had an artistic director, and that's Mark Sutton from The Annoyance. And the first year we've had an official producer. And so that's me, you know. So there's some different, and Jonathan is the executive director now of the festival.
All right. Well, tell us, what is the Chicago Improv Festival?
Chicago Improv Festival is, I guess the best way to put it is, it's the ultimate ambassadorship of improvisation for the whole world, really. It's an opportunity for groups from all over the globe, certainly all over the country, and we've got groups from Seattle, groups from obviously a lot of Chicago groups from Texas, groups from New York, but we all in L.A. But we also have some groups from Hawaii and from Canada. We've in the past had groups from Israel. And Australia. And so it really is an opportunity for sort of the best and brightest of improvisation and improvisation comedy, and not necessarily improvisation comedy, just improvisation as a craft, to kind of come together in the mecca of modern improvisation and show off their skills and talents.
All right. And this year there's a theme that's running throughout.
Yeah, this year Mark, as I mentioned before, Mark's the artistic director, and he's the first artistic director in the history of the festival. And he decided he wanted to approach a theme of improv as theater, you know, because the perception out there is that it's strictly just sort of a dog and pony show for comedy. And that's definitely true. There's a lot of improvisation, and it lends itself naturally to a comedic bend. And that is not to say that most of the shows that are presented this year are not going to be funny. They are. But the focus was more to find improvisation that's using more theatrical craft, that is not so much just four people getting up on a stage and bouncing around and just getting ideas from the audience, but something that is a little more involved in sort of the history and the technique of theater beyond just, that sort of in the past, improv has sort of been viewed as sort of an extension of stand-up comedy.
Right.
And this is a push because it's actually a pretty natural theme, because really while the perception, the public's perception of improvisation comes from things like Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is very stand-up typey. You know, it's games and it's very fun and it's very funny, but it's very quick. The push from the grassroots of improvisation all over the world has been in the last couple of years, adding more and utilizing more theatrical technique than has been used before. And Mark wanted to showcase some of those groups to kind of expand the audience's mind a little bit and show what possibilities are available.
Oh, very nice. The festival's growing.
Look
at that. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself then and how you became involved with.
Well, I'm going to say about five or six years ago, Jonathan Pitts called me and asked me at the time if I wanted to, be involved in the festival. You know, WNEP is the theater company that I'm the executive director on, and we experiment with improvisation quite a bit. And I knew Jonathan through that, and I was also at the time in Comedy Sports, and which is an improvisational comedy troupe in town.
Mm-hmm. Losing their theater very soon here, too.
Huh?
Losing their theater very soon.
Yeah, they're actually moving, going to be bouncing around a little bit. I understand exactly how that feels from my past experience. But 5 or 6 years ago, Jonathan called me and asked me if I wanted to be involved with the CIF and work for the CIF. And at the time, I think my first year involved, I was the coordinator of the Improv All Night, which was... just groups coming from all over, kind of pick up groups, thrown together groups, performing 15-minute segments from 10 p.m. till 6 a.m. in a venue. And at the time, it was at Comedy Sports Display Place, which became WNEP's place, which is now the Playground. Yeah. And I did that, and then as I stayed on, my responsibilities increased. I've been the graphic artist for the festival for the last 5 years. I have been an associate producer. I've been a production manager. Year six, I was the production manager of 10 separate stages in 10 different locations. And that was insane.
Wow.
I got to tell you. I've been an associate producer of various stripes and of various duties for the last 5 years. And then this year, I actually was taking the year off. And it turned out that Zach Ward, who was the festival producer and also runs Dirty South Improv in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, was going to be the producer, but Chapel Hill took too much of his time, and it became really apparent that he was not going to be able to come to Chicago for 2 months and focus his attention on CIF. So Jonathan said, well, there's only one other person that's been this involved with the festival. And so he called me up and asked me if I wanted the job. And I said, well, yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure, you know. So that's
not
that,
a bad
that's really
to have.
Yeah, that's really my history with the festival. I've, you know, Pitts and I have been best of friends for years. And so every time we work together on this, it's always a really good, we're sort of like the frick and frack of producing.
Oh, wow. Well, it's very good to have you aboard then and in charge.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, tell us a little bit about what we can expect from this year's festival.
Well, like I said, one of the big changes this year is that the Chicago Improv Festival is now for the first year in its 9 years nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And that's really opened up a lot of year-round things. One of the big shifts is that the festival is becoming the crown jewel of a year-round organization. In the past, it's just been the festival, and the festival happened, and then sort of the festival just sat until we did the festival again. At this point, I know that in the summer, there's going to be a Lifetime Achievement Award ceremony where we're honoring Andrew Alexander and a number of other people that have committed their lives toward improvisation comedy. And that's going to be a huge fundraising event. We're going to have groups from all over come in and perform short bits. And that'll be fun. And we've just signed a deal with the Chicago Park Districts, where Chicago Improv Festival will be working with children year-round.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah, so there's a lot. It's really opened up a lot of opportunities. Now, for the festival itself this year, well, not to disappoint people that have seen a billion things in years past, we've got a billion things going on, of course, this year. One of the differences, we're not as spread out as many different locations. We are still at the Chicago Cultural Center on Monday through Wednesday, April 24th through the 25th, 26th. And in that one, we've got what Jonathan calls exprovisation. And exprovisation is sort of defined as experimental improvisation in video and dance, in music, and sort of a fusion of all those mediums into a singular show. And those are going on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday during the week. We've also got the weekend before, we've got the Implosion. And Implosion is Zach Ward, as I mentioned, from Dirty South Improv, is producing a co-production between the DSI and Chicago Improv Festival. And it's a college festival of college groups from all over the country performing, and that's at Loyola University. We have the Super Cage Match and a high school festival at the Playground Theater this year. Most of, however, the festival is taking place at the Athenaeum Theater. We have five different stages performing at the Athenaeum Theater, including the main stage, which is the 950-seat, you know, huge, you know, great theater. Mm-hmm. It's a lovely old, one of the oldest off-loop theaters in town. Well, and, it, you know, like I said, there's tons and tons and tons of stuff. We also have on Friday night, the 28th, the Super Cage Match, which originated with Improv Olympic years and years ago, and Kevin Mullaney, who is now at the UCB Theater. And we've had, you know, so we have the Super Cage Match champions from four different regions of the United States that come together and compete, and the audience votes which one wins, and then they get a prize, and obviously, you know, their picture taken.
Right.
We also have a high school festival going on Saturday night. Both of those events are at the Playground Theater.
Okay.
But the main festival, like I said, the main festival is all at the Athenaeum, and we have five different stages going on consistently. In years past, we've had, you know, the showcase stage, and we've had the fringe stage, and the duo stage, and the solo stage. Mark Sutton decided that he didn't like that as much, so we've got all those categories represented, things that are more fringy and weird, things that are more showcasing of ensemble work. Two-person improv, one-person improv, that kind of stuff. But he's mixed it all up so that any audience member goes to see any one sheet show, they're going to get a real taste of sort of the broadness of this form and how much we can do. On the main stage, you know, some of our really excellent things, Mo Collins from Mad TV is the MC for all the main stage shows. And she will be on Thursday night, April 27th, performing with Mark Sutton and Joe Bill in Bassprov. And she is literally the third female to ever ride the boat in Bassprov. But we've got some really great stuff. We've got the Horatio Sands All-Stars. Horatio's got, from Saturday Night Live, he's got some friends that he performs with, and he's bringing that group, and that'll be extraordinary. That's out of New York. One of my favorite things, while it's not a big name, is we have on Friday night, the 28th at the 10 o'clock show, Loose Screws, and they are from Honolulu, and they are doing Screwbuki, which is improvised kabuki.
Improvised kabuki theater.
Improvised kabuki, and they have the full costumes and the makeup and all. They're, you know, it's 100% kabuki, but it's improvised in a comedic way. And they did the Fringe last year and were just brilliant. So Mark wanted to put them on the main stage so they could perform for a much larger group. We have a group called Imp, I-M-P, from New York. And that is Asaf Ronan and Karen White. And they do a two-person, almost silent clown improv show with a live band. And that's just something to see. That's just amazing. On Sunday night, we have Big News out of Los Angeles. And it's a sketch comedy, improvised sort of daily show type show. And it's going to feature Emo Phillips.
Oh, dear.
So we've really got, I mean, you know, on Saturday we have the Mad TV writers on hiatus, as well as the entire cast of Mad TV performing. So
really?
We definitely have our headliners. We definitely have our, you're going to know these people, you're going to recognize these people. We have some stars. But what's really exciting is that for every show we have big stars on, we have some groups that are not big stars, but are exceptional in a number of ways. From Toronto, we have the Williamson Playboys, and they are two improvisers that perform as the oldest Cajun duo in existence. They play as two old men. And once you've heard a Cajun folk song about Grover Cleveland, that makes you laugh yourself sick. You really see how far we can go with improvisation and this sort of work, because it really is amazingly funny. Yeah, I mean, there's no end to, you know, we've got the Midnight Hill House from the Playground. We've got a show called Waiting for Ennis Cotter about two Irish women who were both promised marriage by this man who left, and they've spent their entire lives looking for him. And so you get to see sort of their journey. We've got a group called the Coal Town Heroes, who were displaced by Hurricane Katrina and have been traveling all across the country doing a show called Hurricanes Are Funny. And they're performing on one of the alternate stages.
Very nice.
We have an evening, one of my favorite little combinations is Friday at 11 p.m. in the alternate stage two, we have a double bill of Let Them Hoes Fight and Pimp-prov. Yes.
Pimp-prov and Let Them Hoes Fight. That's a good pairing.
Yeah, it's the great. It should be an absolute laugh riot. You know, we have out of New York, we have the Josh and Tamara show where Josh is a Jim Henson trained puppeteer, and he has a number of sort of Muppet-like puppets that improvise with his partner Tamara, and she performs as a person, and then she performs with all, you know, all of these puppets, which is a lot of fun. We have a group from Washington D.C. called WIRT, and they do entirely improvised radio dramas and comedies in the dark.
Oh, very. That's a neat device.
There really is such a huge smorgasbord, I guess is the best way I can put it, of shows and of types of shows. We have Danse Macabre, and that's from Chicago, and that is improvised sort of like 1940s and 50s horror films, you know, B-level horror films. And they have music they do, and they have this character called Konrad Brunst, who is a filmmaker of the time, not really, that died and took all his movies with him. So they're improvising his movies. There's just no end to the different craziness.
How do these groups become a part of the festival?
Well, the way the festival works is in generally around December, this year, Mark, but in the past, just the festival puts out a call for submissions. And Mark put out the theme is improv is theater, and people submit. They pay a $25 submission fee, which helps pay for processing. And then we have a jury of 13 members from both the improvisational world and just the generally the theater world. And each one is broken down into the categories, and each one of those groups, each one of those people, the jury, get together and they watch videotapes and DVDs and read through all their materials and look at their press materials, and then ultimately go, we went to Mark and recommended, you know, our top groups. He would say, like I did The Fringe, and my partner in crime was C.J. Mitchell over at Lynx Hall, who doesn't have any improvisational background, but he deals in sort of fringe theater. And we looked at all our stuff and then came up with our top five, the groups that were that represented both the most unusual and theatrical and fringy aspects of improvisation, but were also of the highest quality. And then we gave those to Mark. And that it's a really neat group. We had everybody from Adrian Danzig from 500 Clown Macbeth, you know, to Helena Kayes from The Barrel of Monkeys, to Susan Messing from Second City and Improv Olympic. Bill, Jeff Griggs, Nick John. Who else do we have? I mean, I don't want to leave anybody out, but it's just a really nice cross section of theater and improvisation. And
Like a tough jury to get through.
Yeah, and we had 194 submissions this year, which is a record for us.
Very nice.
And out of that 194 submissions, we picked 57 groups. And so there were a lot of incredibly talented and incredibly accomplished groups from all over the country that just didn't get in because there was, you know, a limited number of slots that we could give. So it was a really exciting year this year because we had some really high quality groups. So the quality of the groups that actually got into the festival is kind of amazing.
Is it possible for one person to see every group?
No.
It is not.
It is not possible for one person to see every group. It is possible for one person to see 20 groups.
Wow, that would be a record. Yes.
You know, I mean, that's one of the benefits of it all being in the Athenaeum. Mm-hmm. And as I said, in years past, we've kind of been spread out around the city. And one year we had a trolley car that took people from venue to venue to venue. This year, you know, because one of the problems that we encounter is that a lot of the shows sell out. And they sell out pretty fast. And what happens is somebody really wants to see a specific group, and they would go, and it was sold out. Well, it would take them 20 minutes to get to another venue, and by then the show's already started. What's lovely and cool about the Athenaeum is that if they get to the box office and the show they want to see on, you know, Studio 2 is sold out, they can say, well, how about Studio 3? Done. And then they just walk right from where they're at and just go to another studio in the building. And I think that's going to be a lot easier and more fun for the audience because it's going to create a really big, huge, out of control, chaotic party atmosphere.
And how do the tickets work? Meaning that is there a pass for all of these, or is it one ticket per show?
Well, pretty much it's one ticket per show. We give out VIP passes, but you have to be a VIP, and we'd love to say that every audience member is a VIP, but it's just not realistic. But most tickets you can get at the Athenaeum box office. You can go to our website, and the website is www.cif.com, and there's a Ticketmaster link. So you can buy online tickets and look through all the different shows. You can call Ticketmaster at 312-9-0, for crying out loud. I should know the Ticketmaster number, but I don't.
Let me
off
see
the top
here.
Of my head. But that's the way that it works.
Let me see if I can pull that up.
Yeah, I know I've got it. I just have the Ticketmaster here, so I'm not sure what the number is.
But definitely they can get it at CIF.com.
Yeah, if they go to CIF.com, every single page on our website has a little Ticketmaster link. It will have the entire schedule listed, and if they're really curious, on April 20th, the copy of The Onion will have a double-page pull-out schedule of the entire festival. So if they're looking to find out, just sort of like to see it, other than going online, if they just want to have something in their hands, that's going to be the best way to do it, is just pick up The Onion on April 20th, and there will be, in the middle of the thing, you pull it right out, a schedule of everything going on in the festival for the entire week.
Oh, very nice. That'll help out a lot. That'll be a map as a, in a way for them to get around.
Exactly. You know, because it's one of the things that I've always thought was interesting about the festival is it looks and feels like a $1 million festival, and we don't even approach that for a budget. I'm not even close. And and a lot of it is just because there is absolutely so much going on. You know, other similar festivals go longer. You know, they have a longer time period so they can spread out what they're doing, so it doesn't seem like there's quite so much. But we fit in well over 300 performances of different types in a 4 or 5 day period.
Wow.
And so in that way, it's sort of like a mini, a miniature Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And I'm not sure if you're too familiar with that, but that's 1,300 groups from all over the world performing in 3 weeks.
Right. This is about a quarter of the size.
Yeah. So we're certainly not to that level of number of groups. And I don't think we'll ever be that because that's not sort of the focus of the festival. It's definitely about quality over quantity. But we have a ton of quality in a very short period of time. So I recommend anybody that's planning on to come to see it, really take a look at the website. We have a PDF downloadable schedule of everything online, as well as the Onion double page that's coming out on April 20th. And so I would. It's definitely one of those things where you want to sit down with a pen and paper and mark down what do you absolutely need to see. And then go get your tickets. You can buy them at the Athenaeum box office or through Ticketmaster. And it's one of those events where you can literally just camp out, you know, at the Athenaeum. You know, go to the lunchtime shows over at the Chicago Cultural Center on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Maybe see some unusual, bizarre sorts of entertaining things. And then when it comes to the main festival, man, get your tickets and camp out.
Very good advice. Let me ask you, do you find places for these traveling improvers to stay?
Actually, we don't. It's one of the things we have a hotel sponsor, which is the Essex Inn, and they provide discounts for anybody that wants to use the Essex Inn for their hotel needs, but right. Not everybody in their, you know, you got to keep in mind, these are improvisers from all over the country.
Right.
Improvisers are not known for their big fat cash, you know, their giant wallets and deep pockets. So one of the things I think is really unique, sort of in the festival world, it happens with other improv festivals, but I don't see it happening with other arts festivals in general, is lots of improvisers crashing on lots of other improvisers' couches for a weekend. You know, I know there's a ton of that goes on where people, you know, I know there have been a couple of years I've seen apartments where people have offered, and local improvisers are very generous. It's a really nice, that's why I call it sort of an ambassadorship, because local improvisers really do get to play host to improvisers from all over the country. And I've seen groups where, you know, it's like somebody said, yeah, I can fit 10 people in my apartment. And literally, they will have 10 improvisers crashing on couches, on the floor, everywhere for a weekend.
I bet that makes for one funny weekend.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the stories, some of the improv message boards online, some of the stories of their memories and stuff that happened are just absolutely the stuff the public will never see. And because the public doesn't probably go to most improv message boards to see what's going on, they will never read. But man, there's been some very bizarre things go on. Improvisers are a very crazy and slightly out of control breed in general. And you get them out here, it's like Vegas, you know. What happens at CIF stays at CIF. It gets a little nuts.
Oh, that's a good motto. Hold on for one moment. Let me do a little change here. Okay, thank you. Now let me ask you, Don, who are you most excited to see here in the festival?
I'm most excited. I mentioned Imp. I'm really excited about Imp because I love it, because it's a wonderful show, and because I'm playing trumpet in the band.
Oh, okay.
So that's always fun. I've the few times I've been in Chicago, I've helped accompany them, which is just a blast. And they're very, very, very talented folks. But other shows that I plan that I plan on seeing that I wouldn't miss really for all the world. There's the 7:30 show on April 27th on the main stage, which is World News Tonight, which is Jason Chin's
yes,
newspaper theater show.
Seen weekly at the I.O.
Yeah, yeah. He created it at the I.O., but it's not an Improv Olympic show. It's his show. And they've been running it for a long, long time. I think this might be their third or fourth year they've been running that show. So they're on the main stage. Then they're followed by the Williamson Playboys. I told you about the Cajun duo. And then Bass Prov and Mo Collins. I mean, I wouldn't miss that. That night is key as far as I'm going. It's just, it'd be crazy to miss that. I'm trying to think. I will not miss. The 11 o'clock Saturday 29th show, which features Galapagos from Phoenix, Arizona, and then ends with Shecky Coolhand Theater of the Mind, which is Bob Coolhand's bizarre sort of meta theater show. I wouldn't miss that for the world, because Bob's just super talented and his group is just hysterical. Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Very nice.
You know, I think one more, one more that is just like, wow, how could you miss this? You'd be nuts if you did, kind of thing. I really want to see, there's a Friday, April 28th on the Lounge, which is the little cabaret space. We have three groups. One is, two women doing solo pieces, Tammy Sager, who is from Second City and is living in L.A. now and works on a number of big projects. She's doing a one-woman show called Tammy Sager. It's Not in a Good Place. Before her is Rachel Hamilton from New York, and she's a personal friend from years and years. My beginnings in Chicago Improv, she and I worked together. So she's doing her one-woman show. And then a group called Full Frontal Nudity is in between those two, and I think that's going to be a really exciting 8 o'clock show on the 28th.
All right. Well, now, what do you expect for the 10th annual CIF?
You know, that's hard to say. I think we'll get, if this year was any indication of where we're heading, I think next year will. One of the big things that's been really nice is that we've really vastly increased our sponsorships, because CIF is becoming a really viable thing for people to advertise some of their product from. And it's a nice combination for this type of thing. I think we're going to get even broader. I mean, one of the things that's always been really exciting about CIF is when someone does CIF and then sort of gets discovered. I mean, we've got Disney and E-Channel. We've had Comedy Central and HBO come. The Aspen Comedy Festival comes, and that's usually a sort of a gateway into something much bigger in Hollywood. We've had groups from the whole, all the years. I mean, there are people on Saturday Night Live that got their start at CIF, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. I think we're just going to keep going in the direction that we're going. We're going to continue to do the outreach that we're doing, but for the festival itself, it's just going to be better and better every year in terms of the quality of groups that apply and get in. And, the stars that come in are really, it's not one of those festivals where you have big stars like Horatio Sanz come in and say, I'm doing this for $10,000 because we don't have the budget for it. These are people that are coming out for the love of the craft. And it's fun to do it in Chicago, and it's like a big weekend party. And I think we're going to continue to get, we've had Fred Willard perform with us and Dan Castellaneta several years and George Wendt, and I think that kind of thing is going to happen, but it's not going to be so much headliner. It's going to be a lot more egalitarian. We're going to have smaller groups incorporating big stars that just want to kind of get back to the roots of things, and we'll just continue to push the envelope on what is available in terms of theater, because they're not going to see some of this, the types of improv that we're doing and we're seeing on this stage and at the CIF this year, you're not going to see on television. You're not going to see in your mainstream comedy clubs.
Hmm.
You know, these are shows that are really taking the craft of improvisation and pushing it in directions that the mainstream audience isn't quite aware of. And I think that's one of the missions of the Chicago Improv Festival, is to present it in a forum that the mainstream audience can come and say, wow, this is amazing. I never would have thought that you could do this and be hungry for more. And so I think that's, it's a great showcase weekend for groups that are really trying to push that envelope and do their work.
Yes, improv as theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Don, thank you very much for this interview here today. We got a lot of good information here about the Chicago Improv Festival, which is something that should not be missed.
No, I wouldn't miss it. I really wouldn't miss it for the world. It's huge and it's fun.
These are the people that you're going to be laughing about on TV, and you know, in 5-10 years from now, they're the ones that you're going to be doing your water cooler talk about.
Oh yeah,
or
oh
what
yeah,
they did
absolutely.
Funny. You can see them now.
I mean, I would say there's a good chance any group of people that you watch on television now and stuff that makes you really laugh hard, and that you do have that water cooler talk. There's a very good, I'd say, 2 out of every 5 of those people were at CIF before you knew who they were. And so it's a good chance seeing people this year. You're going to see, you know, you're going to see people that are going to be name brand years from now.
Right. Well, again, Don, thank you very much. This is a great interview.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to this emancipated episode of Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast, brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. But before you go, we have to give you your Shakespeare quote of the week. The following quote comes from Antony and Cleopatra, Act 2, Scene 7. Who seeks and will not take when once 'tis offered, shall never find it more. Thank you very much again for sticking around with us and listening to our Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. Remember, we have a new podcast ready for your ears every Monday, so come on over to TalkTheaterInChicago.com and check it out. Until then, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.